This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
The government says 600 separate blazes were burning nationwide Saturday, mainly across western Russia. It comes during the country's most intense heat wave in 130 years of record keeping.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
Welcome back to Radio EcoShock. In the summer of 2010, the world witnessed more signs of climate instability on a grand scale.
You're gonna burn. Fire.
The Arctic ice again retreated to near record low levels. In the United States, new heat records were set in many states. In fact, 17 different countries set all-time heat records this past summer, from Latin America through Africa and the Middle East to Russia itself. In Pakistan, floods beyond imagination created the world's largest humanitarian disaster. But the harbinger, the messenger from the future, took the Russian people into uncharted hell. Moscow, at the latitude of Alaska, boiled in the weather of Cairo, while grasping smoky air equivalent to two packs a day of cigarettes for every man, woman, and child. This is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. The heat, drought, and fires in Russia during the summer of 2010 were truly shocking. To make sense of this, we're joined by Vladimir Chuprov. Vladimir, were you in Moscow during the heat wave, and can you describe your personal experience of these events?
This is Vladimir Chuprov. Yes, all this summer I spent in Moscow, and 2 weeks was most difficult, as it was a smog, round-the-clock smog in Moscow. Just to explain you, it was smelling with fire, so with temperature plus 40 degrees Celsius, which is absolutely untypical for Moscow, which is 20 degrees above the typical temperature this time. The visibility in the street, this distance of visibility was about 200 meters. People walking in the street with masks, not all of them, but a lot. And in a few hours of walking the street with masks, the mask is becoming brown. The air was full of carbon monoxide, which caused a lot of deaths, and the death rate in Moscow decreased twice. So it was quite horrible. So people waiting all the time, so it was impossible to open windows around the clock, especially in the night, as then the smoke get to the flat, to inside. So it was very extreme, especially for children and people having disease, blood and lung disease. So all the people had shock, as it was quite untypical, and people were not ready for such extreme conditions, weather conditions. And psychologically, it was very frustrating, as people understood they can do nothing in this situation, because the power, the Ministry of Emergency Situation, who was in charge for firefight in this pit box near Moscow, they could do nothing. And it was a situation when the human being could not control the nature processes, which was very unusual and typical, and it showed that sometimes that the humankind, it coming to end, so it cannot control anything in this planet. So psychologically, it shaked Russian public, Russian society. As a result, according to the last poll opinion results, showed that the number of people believing to climate change and recognizing the climate change as a serious problem created by humankind increased from 20% to 28%. For Russia, it's a real jump up in understanding this problem. You should know that a Russian public as well as political elites is quite skeptical towards the climate change issue, things like carbon emissions, climate change effects, etc., etc. So for Moscovites, for majority of Russian people, it was real shock, and people, public opinion was shaken.
I'm wondering whether the Russian press is part of the factor in not preparing people for the possibilities of what can really happen under climate change.
It was very, very interesting experience. Yes, the people were not really prepared for such a climate change. As in the previous time, the Russian authorities, the highest politicians, they said they are in favor for climate change as it's very beneficiary for Russia as it will open the Arctic shore for oil drilling. It will create better conditions for agriculture, etc. But this summer showed that it's wrong. It's wrong, and it's brought real results and showed real impacts, negative consequences of climate change for the community, for the people.
And I'm wondering, what about the personal experiences? Well, the effects of this outside Moscow. We had a lot of publicity here in the West about the smog and people wearing masks, as you said. But it seemed we had much less coverage about the fact that villages burned down and people had to be evacuated and what was happening out in the hinterland, so to speak.
Yeah, well, we can say that Russia consists of two parts, the Moscow and the rest of Russia. It's quite bad, as all the policy of Russia depends on the opinion of Moscovites, people living in Moscow. But yes, the people outside of Moscow were damaged and suffered by these heat waves and droughts, as officially 50 people killed in these fires. About 100 villages were evacuated. Thousands and thousands people lost their homes, and now they're living in the hostels, in the hotels. So this is real tragedies for 1,000 families living outside, who lived near forests, and now they're damaged by these fires. A lot of human stories we learn in media this time. Sometimes these stories are quite horrible. Not all these stories and information we know we received through the official federal channels, TV channels, which are monopolized by the Kremlin. A lot of stories when firefighters didn't protect people, but they protect houses and buildings of oligarchs. A lot of stories when people asked firefighters to come and to help to them, but they didn't have good enough equipment to help people. You should know that in Russia, 2 years ago, the firefight system was abolished and all these functions were handed to provincial level, where they do not have any resources to handle this system. And the firefight system mostly fitted to work with the fires in the cities, in infrastructural sites and objects. So in this case, we saw a lot of stories and information for analysis. What the system? How it cannot protect people? How people had to protect themselves? So these fires this summer showed that the potential for volunteers movement in Russia is quite high, and people reacted immediately to call to people who ask this help. But another side of this medal, the government, the state, could not organize this activity. So people self-organized. They collected all the stuff, all the money, equipment to fight fire, etc., organized these fight fire brigades. But the state even didn't provide them with information how to operate, where to go, or even sometime they disturbed to them. So it was quite a lot of human stories around this fire this summer.
And I think that there will be comparisons to the U.S. Government's failure to respond to the Katrina situation after that terrible hurricane hit New Orleans. Well, another thing that I think is different here about this situation is in Europe, when they had the terrible heat wave in 2003, it came after they had managed to harvest their wheat and their grains, whereas in Russia it was right at harvest time, and there was a huge impact, as we know, on the grain situation in Russia. Can you talk just a little about that?
Yeah, the two sectors, economical sectors, mostly damaged due to these heat waves are agricultural and forest sectors. In agricultural, the official economical loss is about $1 billion equivalent, US dollars equivalent. In forest, it's much higher. It's few billion dollars, U.S. dollars, direct economic loss equivalent. But according to some independent economists, the loss is dozen times higher, which could reach 10, 15 billion U.S. dollars for the whole Russian economy, mostly for forestry and agriculture. In agriculture, Russia this summer lost 11 million hectares of the fields, where Russia lost about 20% of its crops, and it brought to the situation where when Prime Minister Putin decided to shut down the crop export, Russian export, to international markets. We checked international markets as well. In forestry, Russia lost about 5 million hectares of forests. Not all of them were burned down, but as minimum 20-30% did. So it's a real impact for forestry sector as well. As well as two farmers who lost these harvests, and now they're seeking the support from the state. The good news is that the state is going and promised to provide financial support to the farmers suffered by these heat waves. And another problem we discovered for agriculture, for example, is insurance system. We understood, and it's very obvious, the existing insurance system do not have enough potential to cover such extreme climate weather conditions, such consequences for agriculture, for example, which means that the humankind system to prevent or to adapt, financially adapt to climate change, is not enough answer for such extreme change in climate conditions.
And I'm sure that will be the situation again here in North America. This is Radio EcoShock. Our guest is Vladimir Chuprov, a climate and energy campaigner with Greenpeace in Moscow. Vladimir, in the past, you have spoken out against shipments of nuclear materials to Russia. The recent fires revealed more dangers to this whole nuclear project, from the so-called secret cities and maybe even radioactivity from the Chernobyl accident. Please tell us about the nuclear risks posed by these forest fires.
These fires, this hot summer of 2010, discovered another disadvantage of Russian economy, of Russian nuclear industry, Russian nuclear sector. These fires brought to the risk set of risks of Russian nuclear power plants, as well as a nuclear facility presented by a dozen so-called closed military cities where they develop nuclear technologies, both civilian and military ones. These risks are associated with failure, the accidents connected with the electric system. This summer, as minimum one reactor shutdown was recognized as a result of overheating of one of the transformer at one nuclear power plant in Russia. Besides that, about dozen disconnecting of cable, electric cable, connecting nuclear power plants with the grid. They're disconnected, which created some troubles for reactor operating. As well as a heat wave created problem for cooling system, as you understand, you know that the typical Russian reactors presented by boiling reactors and pressure water reactors, they need cooling water, which should have special temperature around 30 degrees above zero. This summer, sometimes this cooling water had about 36 degrees, which is very sensitive for any reactor system in Russia. As a result, in one of the nuclear power plants, they had about four shutting downs caused by overheating transformers and fires in transformer system. Russian nuclear authorities did not recognize these shutdowns with overheating. But we understand these shutdowns could also be associated and connected with this overheating and the heat waves. As well as these stories, well-known stories around the world where the fires near nuclear cities, where they also have facility operating with the plutonium, especially with the Sarov Center, which is in the middle of the Volga River, where the fires come up to this nuclear facility a few thousand meters, which is quite close, as the forest fire speed sometimes could reach dozen kilometers an hour. The government even decided to evacuate all this facility with nuclear materials outside of these nuclear cities, nuclear sites. So this summer we had as minimum two nuclear cities, nuclear centers, where they had to adopt special preventing measures to decrease risks of fire, of burning down this nuclear facility having all these nuclear materials. So this is very obvious, showed that the nuclear facility, nuclear infrastructure is not adapted for coming climate change and the negative consequences coming with this climate change, like heat waves, where this nuclear facility, which having very sensitive technology, could fail due to these high temperatures. It's very obvious.
Vladimir, there's a lot of discussion in the scientific community about whether this record heat and drought was caused by global warming. What is your opinion about this?
Greenpeace position is very clear. All this global warming, all this new weather, negative consequences, new weather conditions, all this connected and caused by humankind activity with the carbon emission discharge from oil, coal, and gas industry. But in Russia, having quite skeptical attitude to this issue, only about 30% of population recognize and believe that this is the result of humankind activity. As well as political elites, as well as scientific circles, they do not, majority of them, unfortunately, still do not trust that this is the humankind activity result. You know that Prime Minister Putin is well known with his very negative position to Kyoto Protocol, to all this scientific base, saying that this is a result of humankind activity. And till now, in Russian media, it's very obviously, we see that the position of the Prime Minister, of majority of scientists, they're still quite skeptical. Even now, after this obvious results of climate change, they still did not change their position. Yes, there was a statement from the Russian president, Mr. Medvedev, who associated and said that he said very clearly, this is a climate change and this is a humankind activity. But this is the single voice of one person, which is seen in the voices of scientists who saying that this hot summer is a result of climate weapon of United States America having special antennas and stations in Alaska and creating this weather in Central European part of Russia. Or this is a solar activity linked with solar cycles, or this is just moving the center of magnet field of the Earth. I personally analyzed the public, the media, and from 10 interviews of scientists explaining such a conditions, weather condition in Russia, only one scientist said that this is the result of carbon emission discharge into the atmosphere, which is very clearly shown that Russia is still a castle of skeptical attitude, the state which will not believe to climate change till the end of the day. That's the bad news. But the good news, this summer, we saw some trends like a statement from President Medvedev, like a change of public opinion, which jumped from 20 to 28% people believing that this is humankind activity result. Prime Minister Putin asking this question, now he tried to understand for himself. Maybe he was wrong saying that it's just natural cycle. Maybe it's not. So, yeah, we have quite interesting tendency, and let's see next year how this public and elite opinion will be changed.
Well, thank you so much, Vladimir. And I want to say, reporting from Moscow, our guest has been Vladimir Chuprov. He's the head of the energy unit at Greenpeace Russia. Download this free interview at ecoshock.org and find out more from Greenpeace at greenpeace.org/Russia. Thank you, Vladimir.
Thank you, Alex.
You're listening to Radio EcoShock every Sunday night at 10:30 p.m. right here on Green 960 Online and Radio San Francisco.
Whether or not the Russian firestorm was directly caused by climate change, it is a hard lesson on what we can expect from the future. Here are just a few of the issues stirred up by the heat, the smoke, and the drought, and the fires. Learn what you will from these 15 warnings.
Number 1.
Fatalities from heat and smog caused the death rate to double in Moscow. Large cities can be attacked by climate change to become deadly traps.
2.
An estimated 2,000 Russians drowned trying to escape the heat. Some died in drinking fountains. Some drank too much alcohol trying to cope with the heat and stress.
3.
The fires revealed the extreme and nearly uncontrollable dangers posed by climate change to nuclear facilities, both power reactors and military bases. Think upon that.
Number 4.
Many people tried to leave the big city, Moscow, but were prevented by smoke-closed roads and airports. Subways became dangerous. Traffic accidents and fatalities went way up. Essential goods, including food and medical supplies, couldn't get through. Transportation systems break down.
5.
The number of homeless people grew as villages were burned out.
6.
Peat fires went up to 12 feet underground and are expected to burn until winter.
7.
Crops die. 1/5 of the Russian grains were lost, exports banned, and international wheat prices rose. In the future, grain importers like the North African nations may starve.
Number 8.
Home gardens, community gardens, and survival gardens died. Beyond certain limits, plants cannot cope with the hotter climate and drought. Survivalists should begin testing their varieties and their strategies for cooling plants and watering them, or consider relocating to a microclimate regulated by the ocean or other large bodies of water.
Number 9.
Fans, air conditioners, and inflatable pools sold out very quickly. Money could not buy a cool place or fresh air. Air conditioners may be useless if the power goes out. Consider your tools.
10.
Some wealthy Russians were able to get out, including government officials. With the poor stuck and dying, class stress or even violence is possible during extreme climate events. Think New Orleans under Hurricane Katrina.
11.
The electric grid is strained and power lines burned down, including those coming from nuclear power stations. Brownouts and blackouts are likely in the future, even in countries like Great Britain or America.
Number 12.
People suffer extreme psychological stress. Will your baby, grandma, or asthmatic husband be okay? Are you afraid to go out for work or supplies? Will crime and violence flare in the day-after-day relentless heat? Do people come to fear the weather? What are the long-term mental health risks?
13.
Even more carbon was released into the atmosphere. Global warming will feed more global warming. The Russian fires released millions of tons of carbon from the forests into the sky. The black particles swirled up into the international Arctic, darkening snow, hastening more melting. Brown clouds traveled as far as Beijing.
14.
The economic costs continue to mount for Russia. Forest jobs lost, workers don't show up, expensive firefighting and restoration costs, roads wiped out, crops wiped out, including orchards, farm equipment, and buildings. In Russia, the loss is estimated at least 1% of the GDP.
And number 15.
Public anger mounts, and big government often fails to handle anything with competence. Regime change, as we may yet see in Pakistan after the floods, is always possible after major climate hits. The long-term impact on public confidence is unknown. Governments may swing to authoritarian forms or break down into smaller states or even anarchy. The only way to control our path toward the future, to limit the horror of these trends, is to control our carbon emissions and other greenhouse gases. The alternative, as climate progress blogger Joe Rome says, is hell and high water.